It's the station agent present, Savander, George, Steve, Nancy, Lenore, Rodolfo, Mark, and Eric by phone.
I want to see if that thing picks up the phone.
Right, we'll have to put it where it can hear the phone.
Oh, this will work.
I know the phone.
This will work.
Okay. So, Eric, we want to let you go first. What do you want to say about the station agent?
Not too much.
Apparently not. He's still there. Hello? We don't hear you.
You have
Hello, can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you.
I think I've got a problem with the jack and the phone.
Okay.
Oh, well. Anyway, yes, I enjoyed it very much. Of course, I'm sort of a space cadet now, so I don't know. Do I get another opinion on it?
Well, what did you enjoy about it?
Did you just see it?
I think, yeah, it just sort of, it represented, I think, Finn's desire to be Westworld so nicely without except for one, possibly two cases. I'm sorry, I've been too articulate tonight. You got me in a bad night. I'm half asleep. But basically, I really enjoyed the characterization of Finn. I just like the way the actor's name I've already forgotten has
an
expressive face. And I think I'll listen to you guys talk about it, and then when my brain starts going, I might actually say something.
Okay. So do we think Finn really wanted to be left alone, or was it the inappropriate attention that made him act that way?
Thank you. Well, actually, I think both Finn and Olivia, yes, I think both of them sort of in some sense said they wanted to be left alone, but they didn't really. They really wanted to be close to other people. They just didn't sort of know how, or especially been too hurt to want to try to do that.
But Finn went looking for Olivia.
Pardon?
Finn went looking for Olivia at the end of the movie, towards the end of the movie. So he really didn't want to be alone.
Right, and I think that was true even at the start.
I mean, he did have a serious, this is a funny way to describe it, a serious relationship with the guy, the owner who gave him the station, the owner of the train store.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they had a good friendship. They lived next door to each other in the same building, whatever. They went to work every day. One would think that they ate together, or at least ate in synchrony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't necessarily go and sit at the same table all the time.
Didn't they weren't they once at a meal counter together eating?
Yeah. There's a knock on the door.
That's when he got me.
Oh,
right.
No,
he died in the store.
He was going out for lunch. To get lunch or something.
Coffee or something.
Yeah, he was
just about ready to go out.
But anyway, but they did have some kind of a social interaction.
They had a routine. They had a real connection.
They had a sense of, a shared interest and all that.
It was kind of a very nice way. I really, really enjoyed their relationship and how it was portrayed because it was understated the way it was done.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, there he is. Oh, that's
Say hi to Eric.
He's in there.
No way.
No way.
You look very sleek. You look like a Porsche. A Porsche.
I think you look like a Nokia to me.
And for the recorder, that's a phone.
Savannah.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. So, Rick, tell us what films you've seen.
Oh, see. Neither. Just here to confirm that I'll, next meeting, whatever, we'll vote. You talk amongst yourselves.
He's just showing that he's committed. He's part of the
group. I have another thing on Sundays, and it meets every 3 weeks, and it's been last 3 weeks ago, and this one have been exactly so. Let's get off the schedule.
So what did
they work?
That
comes
forward.
What did they discuss?
Oh, what did Marin discuss?
Yeah. Isn't that where you're coming from?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Long story.
Well, when I ran into Mark, I ran into him at the shopping center. He said Mystic River and Lost in Translation.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Mystic River. Yeah. And then we're going to discuss, that group's going to discuss next.
21 Grams.
21 Grams and
The Cooler?
Elephant, which I saw last night.
Oh, Elephant.
But You guys are on Station
April? Yeah, we did Pieces of April, now we're on Station April.
You're on Pieces of April?
No,
we're on Station April.
Pieces of April, general consensus?
Thumbs up.
Really?
Good holiday.
Much better
holiday
than
movie.
I expected. Much better than I expected.
You too?
Okay. Even George.
No, so you guys don't understand George. This is predictable that George would like.
Yeah.
George
would
not like
Elephant. Well, I was thinking of seeing it.
You won't like it.
You wouldn't like it.
You won't like it.
No.
You won't.
But I just know him.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You know that he wouldn't like it?
Yeah, he wouldn't like it.
You can see it.
Thank you.
But you're wasting your money.
No, I made myself a pledge that I wouldn't go to any more movies I don't like, but I think I'm not going to like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even if they're required viewing.
Okay, back to Station Agents.
I was just saying that I really enjoyed the way the film revealed the relationship between Finn and what's the guy's name at the beginning?
Joe.
His boss, the owner of the place.
In what way?
Mr. Whatever his name is.
Yeah, I find it. Anyway, I like the way it was revealed because it was very understated. You know, very little dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
The thing of showing that he left him property told so much without ever having to have anything schmaltzy on the screen. He just knew that it was a really significant friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And, the thing where the guy says, the film's tonight, and he goes, oh. And that's all. There's no discussion. Then you see them both in the auditorium, you see the film unrolling, and you see them kind of looking at one another.
Here we go.
You know, it's like you know that these guys know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that they see, but it's not just routine. It's like they have a rapport. Mm-hmm. Like they have an understanding, you know, and they you can tell, like they share a viewpoint of some kind. They're not the same, but I just thought that was really well done. Because it reveals it without it being so explicit. And that's
it's one of my favorite movies of the year.
I had a quandary about that, Bill, because I did see that relationship, but then I thought, why didn't he leave in the store? You know?
Right.
He would have obviously known that this guy would have been out of employment and out of his hobby and his you know, his
livelihood,
one and only interest, you know.
Right.
But that was his interest, the train station. That was more to...
They never really explained that too well.
No, they didn't.
But on the other hand, you could argue it's because of, I mean, for example, you can have various debts that the estate has to pay off. That's fairly common. It would have just taken a sentence of dialogue to explain that.
I mean, you don't know whether he gave him the... apparently, he gave him the station. How is he going to pay taxes on that? You know, he didn't know how he was ever going to earn enough money. But what did he say about dwarfs? He had that wonderful line. What was the line about dwarfs?
Who said?
About retiring early? Dwarfs get to retire early?
Yeah, dwarfs retire early. It's common knowledge.
Right? Yeah, I mean, we really don't know very much about that guy. I mean, we don't know. Maybe he had a child he left the store to. You know, we don't know. We don't know what other relationships in his life were.
But wasn't something happening with that building? Of course, the businesses.
That's right. They were tearing it down.
But there was something about the building. It was either sold or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, the assets would be sold off about six weeks.
Right. So I mean, you could come up with all sorts of explanations, like maybe he had a long-term lease that somehow expired in that case, or wasn't transferable.
I mean, clearly for the sake of the story, the guy needed to move to the public place. And I didn't feel like it was diminished. I didn't feel like the relationship was diminished.
No, he didn't take that much away from him.
How long did it take him to walk there?
He got public transportation, partly a bus or something, and then he walked the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Want some pumpkin cake, Eric? Sorry, I didn't see the movie, so I'm just trying to keep myself entertained.
I didn't think the story was all that great. I thought the acting carried a very weak story. The story, I felt, had a lot of holes. I wish Joe had been developed a heck of a lot better.
With Joe the hot dog man?
Yeah.
The coffee man?
Right, right. But it was the acting carried what little story was there for me.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked about the film was the European pacing. You know, it's just not an American paced film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, this wouldn't go well in Peoria. You know?
Well, this wasn't Hollywood's pacing, right?
No.
Nor was it Hollywood's storyline, even though it wasn't very full or deep or well developed in lots of ways. But still, there was no romantic interest. You know, the women kept sleeping at his house, and he wasn't sleeping with them. And that was great. I mean, I love it that it was just these friends hanging out together, or people learning to be friends with each other.
And the awkwardness.
Yeah.
I love the awkwardness. It's incredible.
There's so much of it all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, I love seeing her husband when he came to see her.
Uh-huh.
And the guy comes around the corner. And he must be thinking.
You know what I found kind of interesting was that immediately when I saw this guy, the husband, just seeing him chew gum, you knew he was kind of owner of the place. Like he felt he owned the place the way he arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see him how he arrived? Like with all this attitude of,
I just walked in.
It's territorial imperative.
But the gum had a lot to do with it.
Who directed the film? That's
nobody that we know.
I think it's the first time directed too.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Tom. He came to the film fest. I forgot.
Is it his first?
Tom. I think maybe.
Wow.
And Pieces of April was directed by Peter Head. It was his directing debut.
Mm-hmm.
He got an Oscar for writing about a boy.
Oh, about a boy.
Yeah. He co-wrote it with several people. Mm-hmm. Sorry, not to go backwards, but we're talking about first-time directors. Mm-hmm. This guy's Tom, I want to say Dowd. Eric? You're the one that's got
internet, you have resources.
Internet access.
Sorry, one second.
Let's get with it. You've got the advantage of the whole world at your fingertips.
Hey, Eric, what are you wearing?
I don't want
to hear. What kind of phone call are you trying to start?
No.
Now, how would you compare Patricia Clarkson in this movie to the other movie? Similar kind of characters?
we're getting across the room pointing. I gave a secret.
I said the same thing.
You said which?
They were very similar. The
characters
were
kind of similar.
Similar. Different, but very similar from my view.
Talk more about that.
The same problem character carrying them back.
Kind of scattered almost characters.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, neither one of these characters had it together.
Mm. Well, okay.
Hmm.
They had baggage.
Yeah, more. But I don't see them as the same.
Similar.
They both had a similar.
Same kind of energy and feeling to both of them in each movie.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
they would be seen by others as problems.
Whatever. Issues. They had issues.
But she almost ran the poor guy over.
You know.
But she was loved out.
Twice.
She was caring, you know? I mean, she was an artist. She couldn't hold it together. Whereas I think the mom character, Joy, I don't feel like she would have run anybody over. Without knowing ahead of time, she would have done it
by accident. She would not have done it by accident.
She would have been inadvertent. No, Olivia was totally inadvertent, and she meant well.
A bit more ditzy, you know, a little.
Right. But Joy, she would have gone after him with the point of the car and just gone after
him. Why did she have to lose?
Yeah. Take some with me.
Yeah.
I'd like to take this opportunity to point out that I'm just starting to watch the Mel Gibson version of Hamlet.
Right now?
The who?
Mel Gibson.
Well, I've just got y'all watching it for a class.
Oh, she's watching it for a class.
Are you watching it right now?
No, not really. I went the other room. I could go back in there and see it while I'm talking to you guys.
And we're being recorded. Think of that.
I think I was talking to you about.
Yes, well, she says that's the version of Hamlet that's actually her own.
There was a scene in the movie where, what's the guy's name, Joe?
Joey.
Joey's asking about as he had sex with a
normal sized chick.
And then I think we had this conversation with you afterwards. Now I was saying that they have conventions or clubs where dwarves get together and meet people of their own size, and that a lot of people end up, you know, finding a mate this way. Mm-hmm. Was it you who said you thought maybe a number of them might want women who were normal size? That you?
Well, female? Probably most of them I would think too might pursue that.
Probably the women too.
I'm sure there are people who have a fetish for dwarves.
We have a dwarf who works at the hospital. She's a nurse's aide. And she does her job. She has to use her footstool a lot of the time. And she's really sweet. She's very nice. But I sometimes wonder what people think when they see her walking into the room, because it's so totally unexpected.
Mm. Oh, that shot with the librarian was priceless.
What was that?
That was good.
Where he comes up to get, and she doesn't see him, and she steps up, and she just like screams, falls on the floor,
and then tries to recover.
And then tries to recover her dignity.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think it's very real. I mean, it's just,
well, the same thing practically happened to me with the nurse's aide. I have to deliver medications to the med room. No, there's this little window, you know, up here. Well, she's way down here, and I opened the door, and I almost hit her.
If you don't see her.
I mean, I didn't freak out like the library yet, but...
Well, you're more like the cash
check. But did you take an instant photo, right?
Oh, sorry.
I thought that got a little bit old, you know. Here's the prejudice that I have to live with. After a while, I mean, you get the point, you know. That part of who he is.
They went out a little too heavily. It was there, you saw it, and there were a few times where they just went over the line, but they didn't need to.
Right.
Well, I thought one very nice touch on that, by the way, was the fact that he was clearly living in a small town, and yet there's a certain point where he goes, when he gets the groceries, the woman at the grocery store wants him to pay for them, you know. So, you know, she previously treated him pretty crappily, so they didn't really have much of a relationship.
So I guess maybe what part of what you're saying is that there would be some people who would just kind of go, oh, and go along. It wouldn't be such
every single encounter with every single tall person.
Right.
So like the thing with him in the bar when he got up on the bar stool at the bar and said, all right, everybody take a good look. I thought, uh-oh, here it comes, the speech. But that was it.
Right.
He got off the bar, so.
And he didn't hurt himself getting down, right? But then he went to the school and he gave his talk with, and obviously he's not a prepared public speaker. I mean, the actor obviously could be, but not the character of Finn. And I thought, you know, it's over the top in a way, and they made the point, but it was for him every day.
Yeah,
you know,
to deal with it all the time.
All the time, it never ends.
Why wouldn't he get up in the bar and have it bother him now, since he's lived with it?
Because he was really drunk. And one of the things you said to me is like, well, shouldn't he have come to grips with this by now in his life?
That's what I'm saying.
No, he has to deal with it all the time.
It's old to him, but it's not old to everybody else.
I mean, it's like he gets it all the time. It's not like, oh, okay, I dealt with this. It's thrown in his face, it's thrown in his face, it's thrown in his face all the time.
That's why he wanted to get away, I guess.
That's why he was happy to live in the station house where he didn't have to deal with anybody.
And just go about his business and just leave me alone.
But, you know, I just love that character of Joe.
He just so wanted
to be in a relationship. He's like, well, if you do something later on, can I come? But if you do, we're not. But if you do, okay. Well, are you gonna walk the right away? Can I come? I'm a good walker. No. I prefer to go alone. No, but I'm gonna finally see him trailing behind him.
Can you call me up when you go to the movie room? Can you put me on the phone when there's a movie room?
It hurts.
You pick me on the phone when there's a movie.
Yeah, right.
Barbara liked it from the get-go because he never treated him like a freak. And when the guy's two friends came around and were kind of bad mouthing him, and he stood up for the little guy right away.
So
I liked him from the start.
The acting of that guy was so incredible. The acting, I was just like, oh my god! It's like I can't imagine that whoever acted that not being that way.
I mean, this one and Pieces of April was probably two of the funniest films I've seen this year. They were both really fun.
I thought this movie was much like Ellie.
I thought it was better.
Different strangers getting together and
people who have no obvious relationship becoming involved with each other.
Very good friends.
Yeah.
They really care about one another.
It was a real war movie in that way. That way.
And also, like what you were saying, it's like the quality of it was really about friendship. It wasn't about some Hollywood romance or pheromones or something. It was really about, and I like when that little girl says, "Well, was that your girlfriend who was here? Well, is the other one your girlfriend?"
What about the librarian and the dwarf? What was the guy's name? Ben. That was kind of an odd thing where she, I guess, had a fight with her boyfriend, shows up at his doorstep, and I guess she just wanted some comfort and shoulder to cry on.
Wasn't she pregnant?
She could, yeah.
She couldn't tell anybody else, I guess.
They have that kiss.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
I guess she just felt closer. I mean, sweet guy. So.
Well, it's very, okay, here's another situation. I think that there's a way in which this film exhibits the same theme that we see in a lot of other literature, which is a disabled person becoming a foil, you know, like not having their own personality and just being available for us to project onto.
Or whoever the outsider is, they don't have to be disabled.
Right, but I mean, the same thing happens in Heart of a Lonely Hunter, where the deaf guy turns into the confidant for everybody because he can't hear them. They can just come and talk to him as a confessor, but he can't hear anything they're saying except he can kind of read their mood, you know. And then they feel so much better when they walk away from him because they've been able to, you know, talk through this thing and figure it out for themselves as best as they can. So in a way, Finn is playing that role too, and that's a common theme in literature, at least in the United States.
But except for I just feel like he did have a... It was about him, too. He was just a foil.
Right.
My favorite scene, actually, was where he, you know, after he tells... I think it's after he tells Joe that he just really wants to be left alone. He says, well, what do you want? I really want you to leave me alone. And then he goes to Olivia. He goes to Olivia's house to find out what's wrong. And she's like, I'm not your mom. I'm not your girlfriend. I have to get out. I don't know. I just love that because it's just like putting his face the same thing that he was doing. You know,
he kind of hung out there for a little while.
He came back.
Yeah, but he hung out and.
And then he persisted.
One of my favorite scenes is when they were driving down by the train and taking pictures.
In the van.
Because he couldn't drive.
Well, what you were saying about this being a film that wouldn't appeal to Peoria, you know, that it was kind of a quiet film. The scene where there was no dialogue, where he's walking on the train tracks and Joe's walking behind him, and then later they show a scene with the woman walking
behind him
on the screen at a time. I thought that was real great. Just, you know, we're friends, but we just don't have to talk all the time, you know. Call each other along. So that was really cool.
I love the scene where the little girl first comes on. He's going down the track, and she kind of hears behind the track. And then he turns around.
She's running
away. So great.
Oh, and what grade are you in?
Yeah.
Honest
remark. Yeah. And then just kind of how the gap gets closed over time between the two of them. Next time she can stay a little bit longer.
And then in school, what if that kid says, oh, I'm taller than you are, when he was giving that speech in school?
Jerk.
But God, she's really with it. She's going to be a cool kid. Yeah, it's nice to see two really good films.
And they were uppers as opposed to some of the downers. I said that they weren't good, but it was just nice to see two films that you felt good coming out of the theater.
Right. I wonder how much of this is going to come through on the audio recording.
I don't think so.
Huh?
I don't think so.
Okay. Eric, can you hear the sound from the next room?
Not really.
Or outside, sir?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any more comments on the film, Eric?
Maybe just one. That the thing with the abusive boyfriend, you know, of the librarian.
Yeah.
Mm.
That sort of seemed a little gratuitous, potentially. I mean, it sort of it did.
Mm-hmm.
It was just.
He blew up at her. Danielle and I were talking about this after the movie, and she was saying how it just seemed like he was just unmotivated. It just seemed like he just, you know, said it like, oh, you know, here's the guy who's abusive, so that's the reason why this woman's in the situation. But it was like he kind of comes out of the truck and says, oh, hi, and the next thing you know, he's being yelling at her.
The Howard Dean redneck remark. Sorry, that's a little too lost. Okay.
So who thinks this is the best film they saw this year?
I think it's
Savannah is definitely not. Shake his head.
Good film, not the best.
You like Pieces of April better.
Yeah. Right?
What's a better film that you saw this year? I saw My Life Without You after you discussed it.
Right.
Remember, I came to the end of that meeting as well, and then I got very excited to see it because you guys highly recommended it. I went and saw it, and I forgot it. I did get to see it later, and I'll do the same with Station Agent and Pizza April probably.
You were disappointed, or you were glad?
I was really moved by it.
So did you?
I saw it in the translation like the day before, so it was like those two movies. Has everybody seen Lost in Translation?
Yeah, I'm really sorry that I missed that discussion because I've seen it now. I know.
Wait, did you tune in?
That's different
from participants. It's true. Send comments back. I think it was Rooney who said.
Anyway.
And so, more?
It was just an emotional kind of 2 days, you know? I was determined to go through this experience of, you know, being moved by these two films. I mean, I was determined to
encounter the two.
Yeah, as opposed to what George is saying, which is like, wow, these are both really funny and really inspiring. No, funny.
Uplifting.
Whereas, I mean, Lost in Translation is really about loneliness, although it's very funny. And My Life Without Me, I mean, it was very inspiring too. But wow, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I was going through kind of a down point in my life anyway, and then it was like, I'm going to go and see these films. I'm not alone. No, really. I mean, I know it sounds funny, but I'm not alone in this, in my own personal, hell here right now. Unemployment and, lack of money and anniversary of the death of my brother-in-law that I told you guys about last year. This really difficult period is this last couple, this last month.
When was the anniversary?
It was Monday.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a year already.
Wow.
But, that my brother-in-law was killed years ago, and I shared it with this group. And, now I can't. My life without me is not sticking with me now.
It stayed with me for a long time.
I mean, if we talked about it again, it would come all back. But anyway, I'm glad I saw it. And
I'm not sure what the best film of the year.